It's back. It's another episode of the Shaggy Jenkins Show, the podcast. And today, I'm going to be wrapping up my Maui wildfire series, because that's why the show rebooted. And I'm going to be making a case for being nice to the people that you usually call a bunch of names and think are idiots and stuff. And, you know, you might actually change your mind by the end of this episode. Before we get to all of that, should do the standard introduction thing. Hi, I'm Shaggy. I'm a radio broadcaster with over 28 years. I keep forgetting, is it 27 or 28? I know that it's coming up on the 30th anniversary of my career soon, which actually would be 2025. So yeah, it's 28 years. God, I'm glad I finally settled that. Anyways, I'm also a podcaster, a guy that has way too much time reading on his hands, and unfortunately, a very, very reluctant Maui wildfire myth buster. You see, ever since the events on August 8th, 2023, I have been spending literally every single day going through all of the social media feeds and finding what essentially amounts to piles and piles and piles of manure. And then, in the best way possible, or at least what I think is accepted practices, try to help the person that comes up with this crazy stuff discover a little concept called reality, which is what the rest of us live in. Now, I know that I'm being a little snarky. However, fighting conspiracy theories while we're still trying to, recover from losing 97 people in the wildfires, over 3,000 structures damaged, and two parts of the island that are normally known for their exceptional beauty being reduced to charred and ash. And on top of all of that stuff, we have had to fight time and time and time again beardos from TikTok and the internet at large saying things like, you know, government conspiracy, space lasers, rich people wanting more land, secret lithium mines. I think that was one of my recent conspiracy theories that I had to debunk. But with all of that, it can get a little exhausting. And as a person that is living fully in reality and accepting that some things are the way they are because reasons, and nobody knows why, it is kind of hard to look at somebody that is into these conspiratorial theories with any amount of patience. Because, like I said, you're already emotionally exhausted, you are already suffering compassion fatigue, and a little bit of survivor's guilt just from going through daily life here on the island. But now, on top of that, you have these weirdos with their weird conspiracy theories that you almost feel too exhausted to fight. And so, maybe, just maybe, you come off a little rude to them. Now, this is going to sound really crazy, but I think it's time that maybe, just maybe, we be nicer to the conspiracy theorist. Now, I know what you're thinking. What? These idiots that are costing us resources, these idiots that are costing us things like, you know, awareness of what the actual situation is, sometimes even things like resource allocation and donation money, they can all interrupt and disrupt those areas of our recovery. Why in the hell am I telling you to be nice to them? It goes back to that thing that your parents used to tell you. You get a lot more bees with honey than you do vinegar, which I've never really done an experiment on, so let's just assume that Mama was right. The thing about that is when it comes to conspiracy theorists, that actually might be the way to make them stop. You see, time and time and time again, I'm about to break down a huge concept for you, and if this blows your mind, it really shouldn't. You see, a lot of people gather around these conspiratorial theories and around this fake information for one, a sense of belonging, and for two, because of their anxiety at not having control of the outside world is just unbearable to them. And see, when I say that it might be time to be nice to these people, that might be the only way to deprogram them. Because let's explain the average person that is involved in these conspiratorial theories. One, it is a part of their social identity, and that is something that I don't think we talk about enough. You see, people now in the highly politicized, polarized world of America always want to align themselves or belong to a particular group or subculture of the big society. Now, depending on what conspiracy theories that you believe in, you can be accepted into one of these groups. And then you're like, what? There's multiple conspiracy groups? Oh my God. Yes. So many conspiracy groups out there. But the reason that they exist is because a lot of people tie up their social identity in believing certain conspiracies. Now, these folks always, maybe they were just born with a lack of trust, but that is one thing. Either through some sort of traumatic experience, some sort of information that they've taken in, individuals have a deep-seated mistrust of authorities, institutions, mainstream media. That leads to them rejecting acceptable, verifiable information. See, instead, they want to go to their alternative narratives that reinforce the fact that they shouldn't trust these institutions. Therefore, they are feeding into their own cycle. Now, of course, at this point, I should bring up cognitive bias and something called the Dunning-Kruger effect. But let's just call it confirmation bias. Because if I'm trying to explain the Dunning-Kruger effect in a nice way, I really can't. And I mean that, honestly, because as a person that's had to endure now multiple national disasters with multiple pits of conspiracy theories in their aftermath, I'm not polite anymore about it. I try to be, and really I'm making this podcast episode as an example to go back and listen to myself that I did say, stop being a jerk. And one of the reasons why is this Dunning-Kruger effect. You see, I refer to it as, oh God, this is not going to make me any friends. Somebody that is so stupid, they don't have the intelligence to know exactly how stupid they are. Yeah, that's not a polite way of saying it. So I'm going to go with confirmation bias. See, confirmation bias is when an individual seeks out information that confirms existing beliefs, even if those beliefs are based on misinformation and conspiracy. And the Dunning-Kruger effect leads people to believe that they are actually smarter and possess more workable knowledge than they do. They overestimate their knowledge and underestimate their lack of expertise because, you know, they're in the know. Well, that mindset actually means that they are an open door for more lies and misinformation. And that, on the other side of things, on people that live in reality, that is one of the things that drives us nuts. Like, we are ready to just go, and shake the nearest conspiracy theorist because we're going, how can you be so dumb and open to so much poor, unverifiable information? And see, it's not just the Dunning-Kruger effect or confirmation bias that's at play here. It is also anxiety. remember how I said that social identity was a big part of what conspiracy theories that you believe in could, you know, align you with certain groups? Well, if you're a person that is anxious about society at large, maybe you feel that your life is spiraling out of control. Guess what? Conspiracy theories to you is like this little sense of control. It feels like everything is so chaotic and so uncertain around you. However, a conspiracy theory comes along and offers simple explanations for very complex events, and it makes the world seem more predictable. Problem: the only thing that is predictable is chaos. There is nothing that is 100% of the time predictable in this universe. So, yeah, some people do not like not knowing, especially when it comes to things that seem a little scary. See, when it comes to the Maui wildfires, nobody had control of this. I mean, literally, not the fire department, not the county of Maui, not the state of Hawaii. Nobody had control of this fire, not the Hawaiian Electric Company. Mm-mm. They have put out several public statements about how they were not in control of things. Of course, there's several lawsuits around that, so I'm not going to get into it too much. But with all of these things that happened on the wildfires that were complex, systemic, of years and years of these failing systems that we have here on the island, after all of that, it was so much easier to, at the end of the day, for people that were just trying to wrap their heads around what had just happened, it is so much easier for them to gravitate towards a simple solution versus having to go back through the history and learn about things like water rights and misallocation of resources and the way properties and stuff were designed. Like, there is so much history that went into the little spark that set it off, the Maui wildfires. There was a long line of events that actually happened to that, but people don't want to take the time or don't possess the mental complexity to understand how these events happen over time. They want an instant explanation. Fires happen on August 8th, space lasers. It makes them feel like they have a sense of control in the world because it's now predictable again. If there's a natural disaster, somebody caused it. That's the way they think. They possess a lack of trust that most people do not. Like, don't get me wrong. I tell everybody all the time, I am, by nature, a punk rock guy. So you want to talk about mistrust of authority and institutions and mainstream media and stuff? Dude, it's me. And I know what you're thinking, but Shaggy, aren't you in the quote-unquote mainstream media? I'm going to break your little hearts right now. Yes. Yes, I am. However, so is everybody else that does a podcast. Because podcasts are now mainstream. So is everybody that has a blog or a vlog on TikTok, Instagram, or YouTube. They too are now a part of the mainstream media. So no matter where you think you are, no matter how much of a punk you think you are, and you're just like, oi, oi, and, you know, fist in the face of authority, congratulations, you're the authority. Media has went through this revolutionary change in the past 5 years. So by going through and saying something like, oh, it's the mainstream media, brah, no, you're the mainstream media. More people consume news from social sources than they do traditional sources. So what's more mainstream than that? However, using that label, using the mainstream media, ooh, doesn't it just sound so evil and nefarious? Actually helps these people satisfy something emotionally. You see, all of us go through life with a couple of basic needs: shelter, food, sure, those are great. But it's the third one, community or communal acceptance, that we all the time kind of make big mistakes around. But everybody has an emotional need. Some people are more needy than others, and some people actually need, for some strange reason, to feel more significant than those around them, to feel special, to feel elevated, to feel elite. And a conspiracy theory can give you that feeling. See, now you possess secret knowledge. Now you're apart from the group. You're above them. You are knowledgeable. You are elevated. And for some people, emotionally, that's what they want to feel. Their life doesn't give them enough feelings of significance, doesn't give them enough feelings of being special. So they go and gravitate towards these conspiracy theories so that they, through their possession of secret knowledge, are now significant. They are now special. Now, this is all of this stuff that I'm explaining is kind of dancing around the two words. And these words are cognitive dissonance. This is something that people that are deeply entrenched in these conspiracy theories suffer from. You see, when people go through life, they establish their own little facts and information of how the world works. Now, everybody's system in their head is different. You know, I might believe how some systems in our society work a little differently than you do, but maybe they're all wrong. And I say that because a lot of us, and it doesn't matter which side of the political aisle you are on, do not like being faced with information that contradicts your belief system. That's called cognitive dissonance. That's a discomfortable, a very almost nerve-wracking, inducing psychological state. And because people do not like being in this state of cognitive dissonance, they double down on their conspiratorial beliefs because conspiracy theories give them a route to something solid. It is information that doesn't contradict their belief. This information echo chamber that everybody lives in, reinforced through the internet and social media, is so much more comfortable than accepting the reality of the world. The world itself being complex, hard to predict, and inherently unfair. And because people don't like that's how the world actually works, they go back into their little information echo chambers with all of their little friends that are all suffering from the same level of cognitive dissonance and cognitive bias, and they just say, well, look at us, the smart kids. At least we get along together because we know. But do you? And so, you know, this is where the nice part of this comes in. Because eventually, these people that are out there in conspiracy theories and wearing their tinfoil hats and hiding under their bed for safety, eventually we're going to want them back in normal society. And you're thinking, what the hell are you talking about? Seriously, I lost, not too long ago, as a matter of fact, the anniversary of his death is coming up. I lost my father to misinformation. Right before he died, he turned into somebody that I absolutely, positively did not know. A man that believed in stuff that he had, as a young man, taught me not to ever fall for these tricks. And it was very hard on me, emotionally, to have to go through that, to have to lose my father to this conspiracy theory crazy crap that has become American life as we know it. And because it's almost 3 years later, I can finally sit down and think to myself, what would I have done different? Because when it came to me and my dad fighting, I cut him out. Period. I'd had enough. I'd had enough of the lies. I'd had enough of the judgment. I'd had enough of the conspiracy theories. And I cut 100% of my contact off with my father. A couple weeks later, he died. That hurt a lot. And so since that happened, I've been kind of like sitting back and trying to think, how can I make sure this doesn't happen to somebody else? And so right here at the end of this episode, I'm going to give you a very concrete case for being nice to people that believe in conspiracy theories. You see, because they believe in conspiracy theories for one simple reason. Trust. It's a lot easier with all of the stuff that I'd mentioned before, emotional validation, cognitive biases, and stuff like that. It's a lot easier for them to develop trust in an echo chamber than it is with somebody that disagrees with them. And the reason why is because most of the time, when we disagree with people, it's confrontational. But what I'm going to tell you instead is, when you confront one of these people, the first thing that you should do is listen. Let them express whatever they want to express. Let them tell you all of their concerns. And this is the hardest part. Do it without judgment. You see, this active listening process can actually help build up a rampart. You know, it builds up a relationship, and I really cannot pronounce English words. Okay, but this active listening actually helps establish trust. They will feel heard. They will feel respected. And that, remember the validation thing I talked about earlier? That's important for the next part. Because if you want your loved ones back, they're not going to get back in a day. It's going to take a long time, and it's going to take you being nice, calm, and patient, asking questions of them that encourage critical thinking, stuff that isn't just yes or no questions, stuff that allows them to actually reflect on things before they're able to provide you an answer. Now, everybody is like, well, what about just giving them the information, dude? Provide the credible information. How can you just like skip over that step? They're not going to believe you. Remember, this is all about cognitive bias. And the only way to get them to accept credible information is if you are prepared to offer facts, data, and evidence from these reputable sources over and over and over and over and over again. However, doing it in a way that avoids overwhelming the person you're talking to with too much information at once. They didn't go down the misinformation rabbit hole in a day. Well, I mean, in some cases, some people did, but in other words, it doesn't happen instantaneous. So it's not going to be an instantaneous process for them to go from believing misinformation back to believing credible information. So you're going to provide that credible information over and over and over again. And here's the thing. You're going to do it without arguing. Because the second that you engage in something that sounds a little bit like a debate with them, that person goes into their defensiveness mode, which then increases the cognitive bias and reinforces those feelings of the other that they belong to, not the one that you belong to. The other is the correct side. And you don't want that. You need to focus on creating this safe space for that conspiratorial person to discuss and explore their ideas. And then hit them with the critical questions. The stuff that makes them reflect upon those things that they brought up in that safe place that you did create. And then, it's going to take a lot of time, but you're going to have to sit there and teach them about what a logical fallacy is. And you got to do that without directly attacking them. In other words, you've got to say, hey, logically, this cannot exist. This is something that you know. So therefore, your conspiracy theory cannot exist. But yeah, there might be another way, though. You could even appeal to their emotional needs. Like with my dad, he was growing old. The world that he grew up in was gone. He felt emotionally like the world has turned and left him. And it was a big part of the reason that he needed to cling to this misinformation, because it gave him a sense of place. Problem is that all of us, me, you, all of us, we're going to hit an age where the world no longer makes sense to us. And that's okay. Because the world will make sense to the generation of that time. Not on us to be in the know our entire life. But that's a logical person. That is not a conspiratorial person. So you're going to have to take some time and do a little Monday morning quarterback on them psychologically. Figure out what their emotional needs are and why they gravitate towards these beliefs. And that is how you're going to have to fight it. Highlighting those logical fallacies, providing the credible information. And get this. This is something that I actually want to do another podcast completely about: media literacy. Just because it's behind a desk, has a suit, has a lower third, has a logo, does not make it news. And that is one of the basic parts of media literacy, understanding that presentation is not, in fact, representation of the validity of their data. Wow, that was a long way of putting, just because it looks like news, might not be news. But media literacy is something that we have not taught in schools. It's not something that we discuss enough in society. We don't tell people how to evaluate sources of data, how to fact check information, how to recognize when data that is being presented has a little bit of a bias to it that leads you only to one conclusion. And as much as people that love conspiracy theories love to do their own research, you're going to have to start encouraging them to seek out opposing perspectives. Things that take them outside of their comfort zone. Things that take them outside of that safe bubble that they have worked themselves into. And encouraging that independent research, encouraging them to seek out differing perspectives of sitting there and going, have you validated the information? These are not going to be easy steps. The process that I'm talking about probably would have taken longer than my dad had left to live. And honestly, the last thing I'm going to tell you should have been the first thing that I'd done. Should have called up somebody and got professional help. Because at the end of the life, his quality of life went so downhill because he was thinking everything was coming for him. A cisgendered white male from North Carolina, the world was against him now. And that was a scary thing for my father. Need him to retreat into all of those little areas that I've talked about during this episode. And as much as I would have loved to have went through this process with him and got my father back, it is a long process and he probably wouldn't have lived long enough anyway. But if a person has significant distress in their life and could be creating harm amongst their family unit, that's where I should have kind of seen the warning bells. You might want to seek and also recommend professional help. Now, there are counselors who specialize in cognitive behavior therapy, or what is typically known as deprogramming interventions. Because much like a cult, misinformation inspires a deeply ingrained loyalty. and also a deep mistrust of anything that comes along and doesn't echo the things that people already accept. See, people they can resist change for as long as they live. Some people are really good about resisting change. However, you have to respect them. You have to respect their autonomy. You have to respect their choices, even if those choices are based off bad information. Because at the end of the day, the goal for us as being nicer people to these conspiracy theorists is to facilitate critical thinking. Provide these people with tools and information they need to kind of go through all of the sources of information that they're taking in and figure out whether or not that is actually valid. I know what you're thinking. So you're going to send these people back to the same information that indoctrinated them? Yes, but our goal is to send them back to that information with new eyes so that they can look at it and go, my God, why did I fall for that? And I'm not going to say that this process is going to be 100% effective. But in everything that I've researched for doing this episode, this was the part that really kind of stuck with me. I was researching how to deprogram people from cults. Because at the end of the day, what we have in the United States is a cult of misinformation. And it's not going to be easy to fight. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. I wish you luck in any efforts that you have to bringing your loved ones and your friends back. At least better luck than I have. Now, if you like this show, make sure you like, subscribe, share, and all that junk. And I'll see you next time.